What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, and welcome to another episode of It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you can take to make your city, town, or neighborhood stronger. Everyone has a go-to success story that represents the people, culture, and prosperity of their community. The story may focus on a place, think a thriving Main Street, where generation on generation have participated in public life. It may focus on a well-known company of however many hundreds of years, employing thousands of residents in the community. We boast about the subject's longevity, how they've endured despite unexpected shifts in the community, state, or nation. However, as we tell these stories, we often overlook an essential takeaway. Today's big wins begin as small bets. Jake Hammond has heard the narrative before. Following Caterpillar Inc.'s move from Peoria in 2018, leaving behind 12,000 workers, the innovative spirit that once defined Peoria vanished. That's why Jake created the Peoria Innovation Alliance, a nonprofit that inspires local entrepreneurs to test their small, incremental improvements for Peoria. Its programs give eager entrepreneurs the knowledge they need to find their audience, its storytelling reminds the community of its thriving human capital, and its latest venture, Peoria Made, demonstrates the value of small bets. In this episode, Jake shares the story behind the Peoria Innovation Alliance and how, no matter the economic landscape of your community, tomorrow's big win may be today's small bet. Enjoy. Jake, what's going on, friend? How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Happy to hear it. How's life in Peoria?
It's great. Weather's not too bad. Can't complain too much right now. But lots of progress happening and lots of exciting things to talk about.
That's great, Jake. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk more about it. And as you know, we got a lot of love for Peoria. I think Chuck, the Strongtowns president and founder, has been up a few times for presentations and workshops. I know we had a peer of yours, Andy Diaz, fellow Peoria native, doing some great work with Urban Acres, had him on the podcast too. Now we get a chance to talk with you about how we can use local entrepreneurs to revive our main streets. And this action really combines, I mean, a few of our favorite concepts as Strongtowns. Of course, when we talk about main streets, places that follow that traditional development pattern, usually our most financially productive places in our communities. And then, of course, using local entrepreneurs, who are the existing assets in our communities, whose capacity we can boost to, you know, test out that community boosting idea. So super excited to be chatting with you. I know you've been in the game a bit with this as founder and executive director at the Peoria Innovation Alliance. To get us started, will you talk to us a little bit about this organization?
Sure, absolutely. So just a quick little background. So I like to call myself a serial entrepreneur, a disruptive innovator, and an ecosystem builder. So I had my own company here in town, back in 2012, was able to exit that in 2016. And yeah, as you mentioned, I started the Peoria Innovation Alliance. Really, we kicked off in May of last year of 2019 and have been fortunate to do some really cool things here in the community since then. So we are a 501c3 organization, and we're really dedicated to the support and enablement of entrepreneurs, startups, and innovators here in town. So whether it's holding an event, holding a multitude of events, providing some resources, connecting those entrepreneurs to existing resources in town, trying to become that, you know, ecosystem builder and that go-to place for our entrepreneurial community here in the Peoria area.
Jake, I want to flash back, you know, maybe a few years, few months before you started the Peoria Innovation Alliance in May of 2019. It sounds like you were already boots on the ground, understanding the value of entrepreneurs. What were you observing in the Peoria community that kind of encouraged you and inspired you to take this next step to actually start an organization to focus on, you know, boosting the capacity of these folk?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've been at the ecosystem building game and helping entrepreneurs for about 7 or 8 years now. Was involved in an organization called Startup America, and which is now called the Startup Champions Network. But back before I started this in May last year, just kind of had seen that our ecosystem had become kind of stagnant. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of activity going on anymore. There weren't a lot of meetups happening. And the biggest thing for me was I was starting to travel through some of my consulting work and starting to travel to Chicago more frequently. And I always brought up, you know, hey, I'm from Peoria. And the reception to that was usually met fairly negatively, right? This perception of our town was not great. But because I had the good fortune of being involved with some of these startups and some of these entrepreneurs that were doing great things, I could always combat that negative with some positive and say, actually, you know what, let me tell you about, you know, this company and the great things that they're doing, and really tried to change that narrative of how people perceive Peoria. So we started out originally, we're just going to be strictly around storytelling, around how do we tell, you know, how do we take these positive stories from our entrepreneurs here in the region and actually tell them, you know, more better to our own people, but also outside of our area. How do we shine that, you know, national spotlight on all the great things that are going on here that people just don't know about? So that's kind of the premise of how we got started. And it's since evolved into many more things. We have 5 different pillars, one of them being Peoria Made, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but really all encompassing in terms of supporting our entrepreneurial community here in the Peoria region.
That's interesting, Jake, as you were, you know, on these travels doing consulting work across the country, and you mentioned Chicago in particular, that people, as you said, had this perception of Peoria as maybe, you know, from a traditional economic development standpoint, maybe people think about, you know, large corporations with tens of thousands of employees. Maybe they don't consider that whenever they think about Peoria. Do you think that's because, you know, looking back on the history of Peoria, with some recent headquarters moving out, do you think that's right. What influenced made people to think, you know, what about Peoria? Well, that's not a place of economic development. You had all these headquarters move out. And as we talk about strong towns, that's not what true economic development looks like. It is more bottom up the work you're doing. What was that like, kind of hearing that perception of where you lived at the time, right, and then kind of contrasting it to more of this process that we advocate for?
Yeah, it's interesting because it didn't come as a complete surprise, just because I know that that's what made the national headlines, right? The information, you know, about CAT moving their headquarters out, or, you know, this company doing this or whatever. But just personally knowing that, you know, as a community, we've had this entrepreneurial spirit for a long time. Mm-hmm. And while those big companies exist here, they started somewhere, right? And Peoria's got a pretty rich, deep history around starting things and being innovative, you know, from the Duryea automobile to, you know, being the whiskey city to Caterpillar. I mean, even the mass production of penicillin was invented here, you know, was started here in Peoria. And people just don't know those stories. And I think they forget, you know, over time, if you've been in a cycle, you know, that, you know, you've relied on one company for years and years and years.
Sure.
You come to forget about those things that actually got you to where you are. So that's our tagline for, you know, the Innovation Alliance is, you know, rooted in history, growing our future. There's a lot of historic things to celebrate, and that's where we really get our, you know, our innovative spirit and what continues to drive us on. So we're just trying to bring light of that, not necessarily like go back to, well, here's what we did in the past, but just knowing that spirit lives in a lot of people, you know, within the area.
Yeah. And to help people understand, hey, whenever we're talking about, you know, building the capacity of more entrepreneurs, having them act on their ideas, we're not saying, hey, let's completely turn our back on maybe the existing larger employers or perhaps any other folk that, you know, may want to consider having a new headquarters in Peoria. It's just, hey, you know, let's just spread out, you know, our investments a little bit. Let's get these folk in, but also let's take a look at all these great assets that we already have in the community.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to that point, I think a lot of those great assets, you know, have always been here. I don't say they've been overshadowed, but they have a little bit, you know, that they haven't had their chance to shine because, you know, the big players in town, you know, rightly so, you know, provide most of the jobs and a lot of the, you know, focus for the economy. But these entrepreneurs, these small businesses, these mainstream, they've been here the whole time. And now it's really kind of felt like a lot of people have perceived some of these bad news things as, oh my gosh, we're never going to recover. But now it's really actually, you know what? It's actually an opportunity to show how diverse we really are and show the things that are here that can't make us sustainable for the future. And I think we've, in a way, kind of learned a lesson now that, you know, and the mayor spoke about that in the State of the City speech last week is, there's, you know, he focused his whole talk on the innovation and the entrepreneurial community that's thriving here and that we've been here the whole time. So it's nice now to have a little bit more spotlight on that and kind of try to reestablish ourselves as that type of community.
And what the Pure Innovation Alliance has done such a good job of with this, I mean, you said the opportunity, you're demonstrating the opportunity with a lot of work they're doing at the Pure Innovation Alliance. And I remember the last time we spoke, the thing that most caught my attention were these cohorts where you would identify a select group of entrepreneurs and then give them an opportunity to test out their idea in the Main Street, if I remember that correctly. Could you tell us a little bit about this part of your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So the pillar that you're talking about is called Peoria Made. Gotcha. And it's been an idea that has been percolating for probably 7 years or so. Back, you know, it goes back to when, you know, e-commerce started to come online and become a popular thing 7 or 8 years ago. Then the initial vision was, well, how can we help, you know, artists, artisans, some of these smaller scale entrepreneurs that make things get their products online to compete and, you know, to sell online. So it started out as just, you know, how do we build an e-commerce platform? Well, at the time I'm a designer by trade. I'm not a developer. So I wasn't able to really go, you know, build something to be able to do that. But with the advancements of, you know, Squarespace and Etsy and some of these other tools, you know, just in the past year, it's been like, okay, now's the time to move on this. Well, in addition to that, then it was like, well, there's, you know, the online component is great, but, you know, looking at the prominence and you guys promoted a lot just in terms of pop-up shops and, you know, Main Street retail and these retail incubators. An opportunity presented itself here in our downtown to lease a storefront space that we have since turned into a small retail incubator. So we've just launched our second cohort. So we now have 22 different merchants, a wide variety of things from, you know, artists to jewelry makers to somebody that does Pysanky, which is like a German egg painting art, to t-shirts, just a wide variety of things, makeup, bath bombs, all kinds of posters. It's just, it's really cool. So we've actually kind of come up with a great process. It's a consignment shop, essentially, that these merchants, we take a very, very low percentage, only 10%, and allow them to use this space to display their goods. And now they have a retail storefront, and they're not just, you know, it's not just a place for them to sell. We're treating this as an educational opportunity too, in terms of our overall mission of, we're holding classes. The nice thing is the space is about 1,700 square feet. We have a classroom in the back where we can host classes and really provide educational opportunities on top of this merchandise, you know, and top of this retail storefront. We can now provide them with some other tools and resources to really help their businesses grow.
Jake, I love the setup that you have. And it really reminds me of a former Strongest Town winner, Muskegon, Michigan. They followed a similar process to try to get more folk attracted there downtown, get some more local entrepreneurs to rent out these storefronts. What they did, and it was the craziest thing, the city of Muskegon purchased about 12 sheds. I think they were about $1,000 a pop, and scattered them just throughout, you know, the streetscape around downtown Muskegon. And then rented them out to local entrepreneurs for, I think, $70 a month. Hey, if you have an idea, you want to test it out for a month, come try this out. Ended up being a huge success. I think there's a wait list of a couple hundred folk to get into these sheds. And now their downtown is nearly at capacity, most of which started as entrepreneurs in these sheds. So I see that similar vision to what you have happening in Peoria. But I'm curious, you know, it's what we call a small bet when it comes to economic development. Like, we don't know what's best for Peoria. We don't think there's going to be a master plan that's going to solve our main streets. So start with just this idea. But I'm curious what this looks like and how you respond to whenever maybe someone says, you know, this isn't enough. Like, we need to have a master plan in place. We need to do a complete redevelopment of downtown. Who can we subsidize to, you know, redevelop entire blocks of Main Street Peoria? What's your response whenever maybe questions like that come towards you?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of baked into our core values as an organization, one of them being progress, right? I mentioned in our core value about progress is the Strong Towns movement, right, around these small scale incremental improvements.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we've taken those first couple steps. So prior to us launching this space, we actually worked with our city council to establish a 9-block area in downtown that we've deemed our innovation district.
Gotcha.
Now, I know that's kind of a buzzword term type of thing that's, you know, here and there and everywhere nowadays. But for us, it was really to start with kind of a placemaking opportunity of, okay, we as an organization as well as the city are serious about drawing activity down into our central business district, our Main Street area, which encompasses this 9 blocks. But we did that strategically too because of what's coming in the future that we already kind of know about. So it's not necessarily a grand plan per se, but we know within this 9 blocks, we have some key institutions that are already here. Gotcha. And then we know that there's development that's coming. For instance, our healthcare system, OSF Healthcare, is in the process of building or renovating a historic building into their new ministry headquarters, which is going to employ or move about 800 people downtown in the next couple of years. Just a couple blocks down from that, they're renovating another building to become become their remote health facility. There's also a proposed innovation hub that's happening that's part of a bigger statewide network. So from our perspective, it was, okay, let's get the ball rolling now. We don't need to wait for all these things to come in and be in place. Let's start with something that's tangible. Let's get this 9-block area designated. We did that. And then it was funny, we kind of purposely went and made sure we had a press release or an announcement every 2 weeks for about 2 months. So the next thing we announced was that we were going to hold a Greater Peoria homecoming event, which essentially was targeted at out-of-town visitors over the Thanksgiving holiday here in our new space. So that was our next announcement. And then we announced the actual launch of our store here at the Main Street location. So it's just been this kind of ongoing thing. And I think we are traditionally, you know, a community that likes our big plans and, you know, multi-year strategies. And I think most communities are. But being able to show this, you know, incremental improvement, showing that there's activity happening has really gotten people excited and interested in things going on. So, you know, we're already seeing there's a restaurant that's right outside our front door that has actually a basement lower location. They've reopened here in the last couple months. They're starting to see quite a bit of traffic. You know, we have a Mexican restaurant that's 2 doors down that, you know, has a line out the door on Tuesdays. We're actually partnering with them now for a neat little event on every Tuesday where we're going to show some TED Talks and partner with do Taco Tuesdays with TED. So all kinds of fun stuff going on that we're really just kind of activating now this downtown corridor with the understanding that there's these bigger projects that are coming. But we don't need to wait for them to, you know, open the doors before we start doing something.
Yeah, Jake, you raise a great point about these larger projects. I know as Strong Towns, we often advocate against them, not because, you know, we don't understand that we want to get a lot of people involved in this process. Most times it's just led by one single entity. There's not much of a feedback loop there to ensure that this redevelopment project is actually, you know, what the neighborhood needs, that the developers get feedback from it. But it sounds like a contrast with this process. Yeah, there's some big players involved in the process. There's some big dreams for Main Street Peoria, including the Innovation District. But it sounds like there's a lot of hands involved in the process, as opposed to just leaving it to like one or two single entities. Would you say that's a crucial component throughout this process?
I think so. I think that, you know, the bigger projects, the OSF projects, the hospital, you know, they've got their plans to go forward, but their economic development lead and the person that's really focused on this is involved in a lot of these community conversations. So
fantastic.
I will say too, we've seen, you know, just since we kind of came on board and started doing this stuff last year, I would call it unprecedented collaboration amongst a lot of the entities that didn't traditionally partner together. So we've built, you know, a relationship with, or we've already had a relationship with our EDC, but, you know, now with our Convention and Visitors Bureau, our Tri-County Regional Planning Commission, the Chamber and CEO Council. So we're all working, like the Greater Peoria Homecoming event that we did was those groups that I mentioned all working together. Yeah. To plan and execute on something like that. So it's good. It's been good to see that, you know, collaboration happen. Nothing's necessarily happening in a vacuum anymore.
Sure.
Which is really good. And I think that increases buy-in, you know, across the community and with the grassroots, you know, bottom up type of thing. As long as they see that and understand that everybody's being somewhat transparent, I think they, you know, have a lot easier time getting on board and supporting things.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, Jake. I want to take some time to, you know, zoom in and highlight on maybe a few of your favorite success stories from this cohort that you've done in the Innovation District. You know, a big pitch that we make at Strong Towns is that we need to lower the barrier to entry for people to become entrepreneurs. Like maybe people hear the term entrepreneur and they think, oh, like only tech entrepreneurs that have, you know, series A, B, C, D of funding. Right. Or they just think about, you know, maybe larger projects. That's not the case, if I understand correctly, with the Peoria Innovation Alliance and this cohort, is that you guys are very methodical. It's very purposeful to lower this barrier to entry to get other entrepreneurs involved who, you know, maybe through more traditional, you know, methods wouldn't get that chance. Tell me about this process of how you guys have lowered that barrier to entry and how that's shown throughout some of these cohorts.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think our focus has been, you know, as an organization, even though it goes back to our values and stuff, you know, innovation, a lot of people associate that with technology, which I understand. Mm-hmm. But if you look at technology in general, right, it's kind of evergreen in everything that we do now. You know, even if you're a fine artist, right, which we have some of those in our space, right, at the end of the day, to collect money, you know, unless you say, well, I only take check or cash, most of them have some component of, you know, technology or something within their business. Sure. So, you know, just saying that alone really opens up that, you know, or removes that barrier and makes it more accessible to any type of entrepreneur, whether it be, mm-hmm. you know, Main Street business or a small business or lifestyle business, that type of thing. So specifically with, you know, with the space and with what we're doing with Puree Made, one of the things too, and this may speak to your, some of your audience is, our landlord has been fantastic here in our space.
Yeah.
So, you know, our city economic development office connected with our landlord, said, hey, this guy's got this empty storefront. It's been sitting empty for a while. Why don't you go talk to him? And we talked to him and he's like, you know what? I really believe in what you guys are doing. I'm going to let you come in here, do your renovations, and I'm not going to charge you until you open your doors.
Fantastic.
So he did that and we had our first event and he actually didn't start charging us till the 15th of the month. So wow. It's been, you know, he's been great to work with. And I think that, you know, the city is very excited about that too. They're like, we need to teach more of our landlords to be like this
guy.
Yeah,
for real. For real.
Right. That, you know, give up a little bit up front, to, you know, to gain some benefit in the long run and show that you're willing to work with people. And they'll respect that. And they won't take advantage of you. They'll make it a good thing. So that's been one positive thing. I think, you know, the vendors themselves, like we started right around the Christmas, around the holiday season, you know, for the first 15, I guess, merchants that we had in the space, we saw, you know, within the Christmas season, we saw about $1,500 worth of sales across, you know, those 15 different vendors. But it's another outlet for them that they didn't have before. It was exposure for them. You know, and now we're doing another, you know, another 16 or so vendors. We've got one that's really cool to us. Like there used to be, actually in the space we're in, there used to be a flower shop here. We used to have a florist in this space. Well, the downtown just wouldn't support it anymore. So one of our merchants for February is a florist, but she works out of her home. So she doesn't have a space, you know, full time. So we did a pop-up, last Friday for First Friday. She came in here and sold some of her fresh flowers and did a really great job. And then she's doing another one here on this Friday for Valentine's Day. Similar type of thing, but gives her the opportunity to get some exposure, you know, and sell outside of her home in an actual physical space. So really just trying to test the market with a lot of this stuff too. So yeah, and then we've got some fine artists. And then one of the other, I guess one other key thing too, is I mentioned we've worked closely with our Convention and Visitors Bureau. They've now put in a banner and a display within our space, and we're reestablishing a downtown visitor center that we haven't had for a long time. So, you know, their office is currently about two blocks away, but it's up on the third floor. It's kind of hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't just find it walking along Main Street. So now that we have this space, they've put in a nice backdrop and some whiskey barrels and that type of thing, and starting to promote it as our downtown visitor center. So as people, you know, come to town for concerts and events and things like that, and they're walking up and down, now they have a place to come in and visit, get their brochures, get their coupon books, but also now get exposure to all the stuff that's made by, you know, our local artists and artisans here within the region.
I love it, Jake. And it sounds like these pop-up markets are happening all over Peoria, because I'm learning about yours. I know mm-hmm. Andy Diaz has the Springboard Market going down. Is there anything else that I'm not aware of? It sounds like there's a lot of good work going on.
Yeah, we have a great, I mean, this one's, we have a great riverfront market. So, you know, Peoria being a river city, there's a riverfront market that happens every week starting in, I want to say in May. Mm. It's grown like crazy the last couple of years, just because it's being well promoted. But a lot of local makers and artisans, you know, farmers, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that people really look forward to now. And, you know, we're in a down season, or not down season, just weather-wise, it's a cold season for us. And the fact we had probably 200 people out on Friday night to our first Friday event shows that there's an interest and a desire for this kind of stuff. So the weather isn't always a deterrent. We can't use that as an excuse. If you create things that people want to come to, they will come. You know,
sure.
They will get out of the house and they will come to something sure. if it's of interest to them.
Yeah, listeners, if you're looking for inspiration regarding pop-up markets, I mean, look to Jake. I know he's doing fantastic work. And we're coming towards the tail end. I'll have him, of course, share where we can learn more. Also, Andy Diaz with the Springboard Market. I mean, and I love just the contrast here, too. Like, Jake, you and your peers at the Pure Innovation Alliance have gone with, you know, the formal storefront approach, worked with, you know, the local landlord to help maybe temporarily subsidize the space, get you guys on your feet. And then even, you know, lower the barrier to entry even further. We can look at Andy with the Springboard Market, hosting it in just a parking lot at first. So I hope, listeners, this kind of helps you understand what we really mean when we say lower the bar to entry. It can start off with a tent, like Andy Diaz. Let's say that works out. Let's take that next step, do what Jake's doing with a suite on your main street. A lot of great inspiration that we'll, of course, talk a little bit more about later on. Jake, I want to talk about this concept of innovation that you brought up earlier. You talked a lot about, understandably, how people often associate the term innovation with just technology. What I'm hearing as you describe what's happening in Peoria and on its main street, innovation is happening just because of this bottom-up approach, and it's looking more in the form of, you know, just having honest conversations about our place. Hey, I have this idea to foster entrepreneurs. Oh, the landlord can, you know, subsidize our rent for a little bit, getting the city involved. I mean, that's the kind of innovation that I think we need to truly address some of these struggles that we have in our cities. Have you seen that form of innovation kind of be the launching pad of kind of this vision that you have for Main Street Peoria?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, taking an approach from the beginning of how do we define innovation is what we make of it. So I've searched and searched, you know, and have always kind of looked at quotes of like, how do I personally like view innovation? And the definition I came up with, I found from a gentleman named Scott Birkin. And the way he describes it is innovation is significant positive change. It's a result. It's an outcome. It's something you work towards. Mm-hmm. Right. If you go back to the Latin root, you know, of the word innovation, it means to renew and change. So, you know, and as I mentioned, technology is kind of evergreen and everything. So it's not necessarily a term that has to be associated with technology. It's really associated with change, mm-hmm. And positive change. So that's kind of where the angle that we've taken from it. And I think the things you mentioned, the open, honest conversations, you know, being able to sit down with people, being able to work almost almost bipartisan, if you will, right across the aisle, if you will, between the top down and bottom up. That's really what's made this really successful. And I'll say that we've been big fans. We've been involved with the Kauffman Foundation for quite some time. And they've really defined in the past several years, like this work I've been doing for 8 years didn't have a name, right? It didn't really have a title or anything for a while. And they finally coined, along with Startup America and some others, have coined this term of ecosystem building. And really that definition that we use is this, I'll just read it real quickly. It's this emerging profession at the intersection of economic and community development. Successful ecosystem builders must connect traditional top-down economic development approaches with the grassroots, bottom-up, community-driven environments in which most entrepreneurs thrive. And to us, that like that is the essence of what we're doing, is making that connection between the people doing that, you know, the actual entrepreneurs sticking their neck out, doing their thing, versus, you know, the top-down corporates that, you know, they typically have the greatest intentions in mind. But because of just being, you know, confined within their roles or within their offices, right, just don't quite know how to connect the dots between the two. And that's really what we're trying to do, is provide that connection between, you know, the top down and the bottom up.
And I love, Jake, how we can see it happening, you know, simultaneously in neighborhoods across the community. You know, I mentioned before, you're doing all this great stuff in the Innovation District on Main Street, and he's got the work going down. I don't recall the name of his neighborhood.
He's in the North Valley.
North Valley. He's finding and fostering these entrepreneurs in the North Valley. I mean, listeners, just like picture what this would look like if we could, as we're seeing in Peoria, just repeat this process in every neighborhood in our communities. And again, it doesn't have to start with, you know, a master plan, doesn't need a ton of funding. Like if we can get, you know, a handful of entrepreneurs, some tents, and then maybe a little bit of love from the local government and maybe some kind landlords. I mean, I think we'll be well on our way to creating stronger places.
And we started just to hop on top of that. You know, we did get a little bit of funding from a national lender that has a kind of a community fund, as well as some of our local government. Not a lot. One was $15,000 and one was $12,000. Nice. And that really, you know, helped us with renovations. You know, we did all the renovations ourselves, furniture, that kind of thing for our storefront. But they saw, you know, it just being able to pitch it to them and position it to them in the way that, you know, kind of we've discussed today, like they bought into it. They understood the vision. They understood that, you know, this is going to contribute positively to the downtown, to the overall region, to bringing traffic back into the urban core. Like they got it, right? And they've been very supportive and very vocal about it. You know, to others in the community. And I think specifically with this Peoria Made thing, you know, we've looked at, you know, well, this model like is really interesting. Is this something that can be replicated, you know, in other cities? If I go to conferences for the Startup Champions Network and through the Kauffman Foundation, I tell people about what we're doing, they're like, oh, we could really use that. We could really use something like that in our city. So I certainly think it can be done elsewhere. You know, there's obviously not everything works, you know, to a T everywhere else, but there's some components of it that I think could work well in other communities.
Yeah. As you mentioned before, as you pitched this vision, I think the reason that people really latched onto it and have found it so applicable to their place is that, as you said before, it's a vision that can constantly change and renew. You know, you see this with these cohorts. We're constantly changing, bringing new entrepreneurs. May there be a shift in the landscape in Main Street Peoria? I mean, it seems like a very adaptable vision that can change to, you know, maybe a new big player once again involved. It's just a very adaptable approach to economic development. And that's, of course, why at Strong Towns, we have a lot of love for you and the great work you guys are doing at the Peoria Innovation Alliance. One, I'll probably be plugging a lot hereafter talk with more folk. Jake, final question for you. I imagine there's a lot of folk listening to this podcast who have a similar vision as you do for their own downtown or Main Street. You know, maybe this isn't the case for you, but they're walking around their downtown, see a lot of vacant storefronts, yet they know there's a great group of local entrepreneurs that, you know, maybe for the time being are only selling online or maybe just, you know, every Saturday at the farmer's market, but, you know, have that vision of maybe trying to make that small bet to maybe give them a starting place to maybe eventually have, you know, a more formal storefront downtown. For folk like that, what's that very first step that you think they should take to maybe try to make something similar happen in their own community, as you've done with Peoria Made and all the other great work?
I think it's the key thing is finding people that share the common vision with you, you know, that they may be in a similar industry. You know, the arts community is a great place to start. That's kind of where this storefront got started for us, of, you know, a group of about 8 artists getting together and saying, you know what, we could really use this. We'll support you. What do you need? How can we organize this? And then, you know, getting a group together and then figuring out, like we've discussed today, is this a small scale experiment that you can try? Mm-hmm. What is something small that's, you know, everybody can pitch into and try something out, right? Don't be afraid to fail at it, right? Because you're going to learn mm-hmm. something from it. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of build upon that. So just a quick example, real quick before we finish, is a friend of mine's a musician, a songwriter, actually a very talented songwriter. And he's got a grand vision for a huge music complex, if you will, in downtown that has, you know, recording studios and practice rooms and, you know, a cafe and all that kind of stuff. And it's a great vision. I love it. I would, if I had the money, I'd pay for it and get it started overnight. but to me, you know, it's like, why don't you try something small? We have this space. Why don't you come in on some weeknight and try to turn it into like a Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, mm-hmm. where we invite people in. It's an intimate setting. You come in and play your music, and the intent is for people to come in and enjoy it and be able to receive your songwriting. You don't need to go, you know, spend multiple millions of dollars on a facility and try this huge thing. Yeah. Like, just come do a really small scale experiment. You can use the space for free, invite your friends, and let's start somewhere. So that's kind of my encouragement to anybody out there listening is, you know, find a willing landlord or something you can rent, you know, on your own or pay for yourself collectively as a group. Get a group of people that, you know, share some similar passion and vision for not only their craft, but also to see improvement in their, you know, in their city and in their community, and just go try something. You know, if it doesn't work, you're going to learn something from it. And then, you know, say, okay, you know, that didn't work. Let's try something else. Or, you know, if you thought it through, it'll probably work. So yeah, there's just get the vision, share it with other people, get a group together and then try something small.
That's great advice, Jake. And Jake makes a great point, listeners, like whether you're a private citizen that has an entrepreneurial idea, or you're perhaps an elected official and you have your own grand vision for what you want the community to look like hold on to that grand vision. Like, grand visions are exciting. But as we know, they're also quite scary and can also lead to, you know, not taking much action if we get caught up too much at what it looks like at scale. So what we're seeing happen in Peoria and several other places, you know, hold on to that grand vision. But in the meantime, let's make a small bet, get some feedback, probably see a lot of change and renewal throughout the process. But I imagine, you know, people be well on their way towards, you know, getting that grand vision and the community involved in the process. I love it. Well, Jake, thank you so much, friend. This has been fantastic. Love to learn more about you, your work at the Peoria Innovation Alliance, and all the great work you're doing to, you know, foster and boost the capacity of local entrepreneurs. Super inspiring. For folk that want to learn more about you, the Peoria Innovation Alliance, keep up with all the great work you all are doing, where can people connect with y'all online?
Yeah, so I'll give you just 3 links real quick. Just, I guess, a personal plug for my what I'm working on and the different things is my personal web address is jakehammann.me. To learn more about what we're doing at the Innovation Alliance, our website is peoriainnovationalliance.org. And the storefront, the Peoria Made, our retail incubator, as well as the space that has our learning lab and co-thinking lounge. It's peoriama.de. So got a little clever with the URL, but hopefully people can get that in there and take a visit to that site too.
Perfect. Well, listeners, if you want to check out any of those links, we will include them in the show notes below. Jake, thank you so much, friend. This has been a joy. We'll chat very soon.
All right. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.